WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what's going on, beautiful people? It is one beautiful day outside, about 75 degrees. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. It just put me in a happy mood walking out of my apartment today and looking up in the sky. Man, I hope you all are smiling and having a wonderful Thursday. We have a wonderful show for you all as I'll be rocking the mic for the next hour. So glad you have decided to tune in to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We'll be taking your calls like we do each and every weekday here on the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, as we have a full plate to get to on today's show. It's pretty interesting because you get to hear from Greg Iani, who is the MSU Deputy Athletic Director right here at Michigan State University, and has been doing one fantastic job throughout his entire tenure. I got a chance to sit down with Greg last night for Current Sports TV, and Greg really kind of just listed in detail what exactly, you know, what is going on as far as the North End Zone project is concerned at Spartan Stadium. Renovations are going on as we speak. It should be done right in time for the new season, and just really breaking it down and talking about, you know, the locker room and the specifics about the locker room, how much money went into it, how the idea came about. It was really cool to pick his brain about just the business aspect when it comes to multiple athletic venues, not just at Michigan State, but across the nation, and how each one tries to find the leg up on one another and tries to find new technology and just to kind of give, you know, just that added flair that separates an athletic venue from others in the nation. So it's a constant battle. It was great sitting down with Greg Iani and talking to him about it. And it was great as also a few of his buddies came out to enjoy that episode and that taping last night. And it was so intriguing because even though we finished the episode around, you know, usually a Current Sports TV taping takes about an hour, maybe an hour and a half tops. But we sat literally about probably 30 to 45 minutes after that taping, just chatting about Greg's memories, fond memories, along with his buddies from Spartan Stadium, going all the way back to that Michigan State and Ohio State game in the 70s, as, of course, Levi Jackson, you know, with the incredible running he had, being mobbed by the student section as he crossed the end zone. It was a great time talking with Greg, such a down-to-earth guy. And you'll get to hear that interview in just a moment, kind of a sneak peek preview of tonight's episode. And tune in tonight. If you want to see that episode tonight at 10 o'clock on WKAR-TV, you can catch Current Sports with me. And you'll not only get to see my sit-down with Greg, but you'll also get to see some girls' soccer action, some girls' local high school soccer action as Lansing Eastern took on Okemos the other day. You'll also get to see a little baseball as Mount Pleasant and Hazlett went at it. Great highlights there. And also part three, part three and the final part of my sit-down with MSU head football coach Mark D'Antonio. It's a loaded show tonight, a loaded show. Check it out tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. So also, folks, later on the show, it's Throwback Thursday, each and every Thursday here on Current Sports. And we kind of like each and every Thursday, if it's something really big, really, really big that stands out in the history of sports on a particular Thursday, we love to highlight it and have a discussion on it. And on this day in sports, it's pretty interesting because if you go all the way back to 1967, Muhammad Ali made a decision that really still reigns in memory in the memories of many to this day. Back in 1967, as Ali was indicted for refusing induction into the U.S. Army, saying that he would not fight in the Vietnam War. It went against his moral principles, his religious principles, and so on and so forth. It was such a game-changing just statement in my eyes and many people's eyes, because we still talk about it to this day. It was really the first time for me that I can go back in history. And I used to talk to my grandfather about this. He used to talk about this moment all the time because it hits so close to my family due to the fact that my uncle Eddie, he actually was he was drafted into the Vietnam War. He fought in the Vietnam War, and countless times I've sat and talked to him about the various war stories he's had, from, you know, sitting down in the jungle and looking up as bullets just fly over his head, to his post-traumatic stress syndrome. I mean, it's really a vivid time that hits home for many, especially, you know, seeing as though the Vietnam War, I mean, a draft was induced, and many who got the letter had to report, and my uncle was one of those individuals. Muhammad Ali took a stand that you don't see, we haven't seen in quite some time when it comes to an athlete, a stand to not go and fight in the Vietnam War due to his political beliefs, due to his religious beliefs. And it was one of the first times that you start to see athletes being looked at more than just athletes, standing up for his beliefs in times of a socially sensitive topic like such as that one. He became a hero for many during that entire stand. And it's pretty cool because WKAR tonight, during our community cinema event, it's actually highlighting that very incident, the trials of Muhammad Ali. You can see a short preview of the Independent Lens documentary, again, entitled The Trials of Muhammad Ali, as it kind of recounts, you know, that entire period and just the overall impact of that decision for Ali not to make the decision to go and fight in the Vietnam War, the impact that had on our modern culture and society. Really, really cool. Again, the event takes place tonight at 7 p.m. At the Communication Arts and Sciences Building right inside here where we broadcast Current Sports on the campus of Michigan State University. The event will begin with a screening of a short portion of that film. And the full 85-minute documentary can be viewed online. You can go to WKAR.org to get the link to see that. And the panel is really, really cool because there will also be a panel discussion after the video is shown. And a very impressive panel from Wasim El Reis, who is the coordinator of Muslim Studies and Specialization in the James Madison College here at Michigan State University. Daniel Manville, who is the director of the Civil Rights Clinic in the College of Law here at MSU. And how about this? My professor, my African-American history professor here at Michigan State University, it was one of my favorite classes I've ever taken here at MSU. Other classes I may have slept through, but this one, I made sure I was there. Probably didn't even miss a class. Me and my buddy, my college roommate, Johnny, we didn't miss a class when it came to Professor Pero Dagbovi. He's an unbelievable mind, an unbelievable man, but he will also be on that panel tonight. He is the director of the Department of History graduate program, so he definitely knows his stuff, and it should be a great, great discussion with those three as they kind of dig into that moment where Ali decided he would take a stand, put his foot down, and stand up for his belief. So, and we're going to talk about it on today's show. You'll actually, during our later part of the show, you'll get to hear Muhammad Ali address the media, address the public as to why he was making the decision not to fight in the Vietnam War. And it's riveting stuff. And you kind of get a behind-the-scenes look into Muhammad Ali's mindset as to why he would not go to Vietnam and fight. So you do not want to miss that. And I'm curious. I want to get your calls on that, folks, without a doubt, because I'm sure many of you listeners out there remember that moment where Ali decided to make that decision. And I'm pretty sure you probably know someone who is a Vietnam War veteran. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 355-9527. All right, folks. Well, without further ado, let's dive right into the show. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this May 8th, 2014. Man, Mother's Day is right around the corner. I gotta go shopping. All right. Well, Brian Dart, folks. Brian Dart, if that name rings a bell, he was now the Olivet High School varsity boys basketball coach for the past 14 seasons. He has resigned his coaching position effective immediately. Now, in an open letter to the community, Dart said that, quote, "The time has come for me to step down so that I can dedicate more time to my children and family." Now, he is also a former regional and state coach of the year. Dart led the Eagles to a Class C state championship and, get this, perfect 28-0 season back in 2005. Impressive resume. He also led Olivet to 6 district championships and 2 regional titles during his tenure, which concluded with a 225-102 record. How about that? Impressive stuff, Brian. Hats off to you. I definitely covered Brian as a little intern back at Channel 6 News and during my days in college, my junior and senior year. It was a pleasure covering Brian. He is a class act, and wish him the best now as he focuses on his children and family. So that's great stuff. All right, Harrison Payne, folks. Two former MSU players will spend next week auditioning for spots in the NBA, while another is a surprise omission from the key pre-draft event. Gary Harris and AP, no surprise here. They will both participate in the NBA Combine next week in Chicago. Now, former Spartan point guard Keith Appling didn't receive an invite to the Combine, and according to his agent, Mike Silverman, many teams were shocked to hear that the Detroit native wasn't among the 60 players invited to the Combine. Now, Combine invitees are determined by a vote from all 30 NBA teams. So Appling is ousted while Gary Harris and Adrian Payne will get to display their talents at the NBA Combine. And we'll talk about that on today's show as well and talk about the future of Keith Appling and where that lies, whether he'll be playing overseas or whether he can still audition for a team, maybe with not at the Combine, but, you know, maybe in some off-season training workouts. Maybe he impresses some folks and we'll see him on the NBA roster. We'll debate about that and talk about the future of Keith Appling. Again, you can weigh in on it by dialing 517-355-9527. And how about the Tigers, folks? My goodness, they just keep on rolling. Victor Martinez hit a solar homer in the sixth inning, and Miguel Cabrera also went deep for the Tigers, who won their eighth straight game last night, 3-2 over the Houston Astros. Even Detroit's maligned bullpen looked impressive Wednesday. Joba Chamberlain, he got four outs in relief, striking out the side and in the eighth. And Joe Nathan, he pitched the ninth for his seventh save in nine chances. He struck out two, getting Matt Dominguez swinging with a man on third to preserve the win. Detroit's Torii Hunter, he had his hitting streak snapped at 13 games. And the Detroit Tigers and Houston Astros, they wrap up the four-game series as we speak. First pitch has already been thrown out right now at Comerica Park, a 1:08 p.m. time start of that one. So we'll keep you updated on how that one is transpiring throughout the hour. And the PGA Tour is at the TBC Sawgrass in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, for the Players' Championship this week, where many of the game's biggest names will vie for golf's biggest purse. Now, the Players' Championship features a $10 million purse, the first eight-figure purse in PGA Tour history, how about that, and reported $1.8 million to the winner. Now, Rory McIlroy is the favorite at 12-1, with Adam Scott at 14-1 and Matt Kuchar at 18-1 right behind. Now, notably absent from this weekend's festivities is, yes, the man, the myth, the legend, Tiger Woods, still nursing injuries suffered earlier this year. And you got to be excited for today because the NFL draft is finally here, folks. The 2014 NFL Draft kicks off tonight with the first round slated to start at 8 p.m. at Radio City Music Hall. Houston owns the top pick, and South Carolina defensive end Jadeveon Clowney is the favorite to go first overall. Now, rounds 2 through 3 will be held Friday night from 7 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., and rounds 4 through 7 will run all day Saturday from noon to 8. I'm pretty sure there are some crazy folks out there that will be tuned in from noon to 8 on a Sunday, folks. Saturday, excuse me. So, my goodness, you guys are very dedicated when it comes to your NFL. I'm pretty sure a few of my buddies will be glued to their TVs. All right, and this is a pretty interesting story here. Quotes from an excerpt of Roland Lazenby's new book, Michael Jordan, The Life, are making waves as the NBA legend admits to growing up racist. Now, Jordan spoke of a suspension from school back in 1977 when he responded to a girl calling him the N-word. Jordan went on to say, quote, "I threw a soda at her. It was a very tough year. I was really rebelling. I considered myself a racist at that time. Basically, I was against all white people." Now, Lazenby, he took steps to clarify the statements, tweeting, quote, "Media are focused on comments Michael Jordan made about race, which appear in my book. He made those comments years ago, talking of his youth," end quote. So that's just to put that quote into context right there, folks. He was talking about this growing up, because a lot of people start to associate Jordan coming out and speaking on this, or these quotes coming out, in lieu, of course, the Donald Sterling story, which we talked about last week. But no, this was already been, he's already been a record of saying this. It's just now being released in the book by Roland Lazenby entitled Michael Jordan, The Life. So interesting stuff there. All right. Pacers, NBA action, folks, in the NBA playoffs. In a crucial game, too, the Indiana Pacers won at home against the Washington Wizards to even up a series, even up the series 1-1 after being quiet in game one with 0 points, a donut, and 5 fouls. Roy Hibbert, finally, he has woken up, folks. He had 28 points. He was in a zone and compiled 9 boards for the Pacers. Leading the Wiz was Marcin Gortat with 21 points and 11 rebounds, double-double for him. Game 3 is tomorrow with an 8 p.m. tip at Washington. So finally, the Pacers have sort of woken up here. Again, it's the first time we've seen the Pacers have a overall solid game. Roy Hibbert finally wakes up. Consistency is the key here. Can they duplicate that type of performance moving on? Again, game 3 tomorrow, 8 p.m. at Washington. In a similar fashion, the Oklahoma City Thunder also evened up the series 1-1 against the Los Angeles Clippers last night at home. Now, the dynamic duo of Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, a huge part of the win for the Thunder. Westbrook was unbelievable last night. Showed off a triple-double, 31 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. That's a grown man performance right there. While Kevin Durant was one assist shy of a triple-double with 32 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, I don't think anybody in the world can beat the Oklahoma City Thunder when those two are playing like that. Kevin Durant was also officially awarded the most valuable player trophy right before tip-off of that game. Adam Silver was right there to give the announcement as Kevin Durant addressed the crowd briefly. Now, Game 3 is tomorrow at 10:30 p.m. in Los Angeles. And in some NHL action, the Pittsburgh Penguins, they were pretty good last night, folks. They topped the New York Rangers yesterday, 4-2. Just checking the score there. A 3-1 series lead now for the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Rangers are on the brink of elimination tomorrow night's game at Pittsburgh. So there you have that. How about Torrey Krug? Torrey Krug has been pretty impressive, folks, throughout his tenure with the Pittsburgh Penguins and turning a lot of hits. Former MSU alum, of course. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. I want to remind you all that if you tune into yesterday's Current Sports, you know that we had the conversation on when is it right to fire a head coach, okay? When is it fair to fire, if you will? And that's our current sports question of the week. If you want to weigh in on that, we want you to go to facebook.com/currentsports. Again, we'll take your calls throughout this entire hour on it as well. But we're really encouraging you to go to our Facebook page and leave your comments on there. They will be read live on the air. When is it exactly fair to fire? I'm interested to get your comments on that. All right, well, Alex, let's hit the break. When we come back, you will get a chance to hear from Greg Iani, who is the Michigan State University Deputy Athletic Director, who is in charge of all of the upgrades and fine-tuning of the multiple athletic venues here on the campus of Michigan State University. You don't want to miss my sit-down with him. You'll get to hear it in just a sec. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, Greg Iani is the Michigan State University Deputy Athletic Director here on campus and has done a fantastic job and is responsible for the multiple upgrades of athletic venues that you see right here at Michigan State. Has done one fantastic job. I got a chance to pick Greg's brain last night during our taping of Current Sports TV, which you can see tonight at 10 p.m. Before the dedicated Current Sports fans that just can't get enough of Current Sports, those who tune into the radio show each and every weekday here from 1 to 2 p.m., you'll get a sneak peek right now of my sit-down with Greg as he addresses first the North End Zone project that we've been talking about week in and week out, which is coming along quite well and will be ready in time for the start of the football season. So it's certainly an exciting time. But I got to talk with Greg as he just kind of breaks down what exactly is being done to the north end zone at Spartan Stadium.
Well, we've always had issues with the locker rooms, and that's really where it started. Locker rooms and the ability to do our post-game media sessions. And as that's grown, the media piece has grown. When I arrived here 21 years ago, there used to be a little tent outside the north end, and that's where they did the post-game interviews. Well, now it's, as you well know, you're in the business,
trailer.
How it's just grown.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we moved into the double wide. We had a single wide, then we moved into the double
goodness.
Wide.
Keep moving up, baby. Yeah,
absolutely. And for us to do the things operationally that a Division I program has to do, we really knew we were going to have to do something down there. So the beauty of this project is we've eliminated or touched a lot of issues that we have that will impact a lot of folks who use the stadium. Not only the players from both teams, the officials. We're actually, I don't know if folks know this, but we've dressed the officials at the Duffy Doherty building for years. And we bring them over in a step van. And we put them in a trailer as well where they just hung out pregame and halftime.
Right.
Postgame, they would back the step van up to the back of the tunnel. And if you ever go look at some old films, you'll see the officials will sprint off the field. Well, they sprint off the field, they jump right into that step van, and they drive them back over to the Duffy Doherty facility. They're over there before anyone's left the stadium.
Really?
Yeah. So that's they've been doing that for years. At one time, they used to stay at Kellogg. When I was in school, they would stay at Kellogg Center.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd bus them back or they'd truck them back over there. But it's been Duffy Doherty building since I got here. So we're actually got a space for them now in the stadium. The visiting team, it's been, you know, I know people like to say, geez, you know, you don't want to give the visiting team much, but as a good host, mm-hmm. you know, you really, it represents you, and I think it says a lot about your institution on how you treat your guests.
Right.
You know, we want to give them all the comforts of home and then take them out on the field and kick their tails and then send them home. I mean, that's the idea. So we've addressed that. We've addressed the media issue for the photographers that work the field. We've got a place for them. Post-game press conferences for both teams, we've addressed that. The locker room, obviously, for our team and all the amenities there, training room, equipment room, coaches' locker rooms. People don't know this. Coaches didn't dress in the stadium either. They dressed at Duffy and walked over. So and then of course we've with the help of Department of Radiology on campus, we've added an X-ray unit to the facility.
So if injuries happen around the field, they can get it done right then and there.
Again, this is what we've done in the past. We'd have a van there, and we put our kids in a van, run them over to the clinical center, get the X-ray done, and bring them back. So let's say a young man's got got an arm. And they're not sure if it's fractured or just bruised.
Yeah.
Well, you got to run them. You put them in a van. You run them over there. Find out it's just bruised. You wrap it. Put a pad on it. Bring them back, and let him play. Well, how much of the game does he miss?
Exactly. I'm amazed that hasn't happened sooner. But still, that's unbelievable. That's great.
Yeah. So we can get that done. Same opportunity for the visiting team. And you know, it's safer too. We know what kind of injuries we're dealing with.
Right.
Then up on the first floor, we've built a recruiting room. That will be used by all of our sport programs.
Okay.
Pre-game, up until kickoff, football will use it.
Mm-hmm.
Halftime, all the other sports will use it for their recruits who are attending the game. Then post-game, football will use it again.
Right.
And it's right above the locker room, so they'll be able to move up and down, bring kids down into the locker room, bring parents down in the locker room, show them the space. And then we'll also be able to use the space for other functions. It'll seat 140 people for small banquets and so on and get-togethers. And then on the other side above the visiting team locker room is a massive restroom complex, which anyone who's attended Spartan games will know that that's something we're in sorely, sorely need of. So
definitely.
We've addressed a lot of needs. And then the last piece that people will start to notice when you drive by is we pulled the entry gates out away from the stadium. And that's been in response to a couple things. The crowded conditions we have on the concourses, which at times are unsafe.
Right.
And then Homeland Security did a study for us on security. And they said, you really need to move your gates away. So what we've done is, well, we'll take the tickets out away from the stadium, and then our fans will enter in, and there'll be a big plaza space And then before they get into the actual concourse, then what we'll do after kickoff is we'll set up mobile concession areas out there, and folks can come out at halftime, you know, after the start of the first quarter, come out through the end of the third quarter and use the concession areas out there. Then we'll fold them up, put them aside, and have a nice clean space for people to exit the stadium. So it touches a lot of people, Al. It's the kind of project you like to do that it's a win-win for everybody.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's a lot of things in play, and I'm sure Spartan Nation, is including the recruits and the players and so on, will definitely appreciate it. That's great. And when is the expected finish date for it right now?
Well, we'll be done with a new addition. It's two pieces, a new addition, and then we had to renovate some space. We'll be done with the new addition right around the last week of July, and then 3 weeks after that with the renovated space. We ran into a little structural issue there that we had to repair some of the old concrete in there. So we took the opportunity to do that before we finished the space. So whoever my successor is 10, 15 years down the line, instead of leaving that for him or her to fix, we
there
fixed it for him.
Such a nice guy, Greg.
Well, you know.
Now, I want to ask you, how big of a game changer is this? When you compare, because Mark has gone on the record multiple times saying that this facility will be able to compete with any other athletic venue or upgrade facility in the entire nation. Yeah. And it's such a big, big project. How big of a game changer is this for not only the world of MSU football, but MSU athletics in general on the national scale?
Well, that's a great question, Al. And I agree with Mark 100%. It will be one of the best facilities of its kind in the country. I never say the best because in our business, somebody's building something all the time. And
that's
so
true.
It will be one of the best. Our locker room area will be second to none. It's really, really well done, large, spacious. The graphic presentation is really impressive.
Yeah, I saw that. Unbelievable.
When you walk in, you know where you're at. So, you know, it's a big selling point, big motivational piece for the kids that we've got in the program. And we're always recruiting. We're always recruiting.
Right.
So that's a positive there. It's the image, Al, from the national media. You know that, you know, we have people here from all the major networks. National media, New York Times,
ESPN,
Chicago Trib, ESPN, you know, go down the line, Sports Illustrated. So you want to treat them well. Better you treat them, better chance you have of getting them, not necessarily to cover you the way you want to be covered, but get them to come back.
Right.
You know, you want those people to come back. They have a lot of other places they can go. But if they know, geez, Michigan State's got a solid football program, and it's a comfortable place, and I can get my job done because it's their careers, it's their job, it's what
right.
they do. I think that's a big bonus. The recruiting space will be huge. To have a place where we can host the next generation of Spartan athletes is just I can't tell you how important that is because we have not had anything like that in the past.
Right.
You know, our coaches have done a whale of a job doing what they've been doing and the success rate we've had. Now we're giving them more tools in the toolbox.
Yeah.
So what's that mean? Well, maybe the next level of athlete, maybe that's that one young man or young lady that gets us to a national championship. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But those kids spend a lot of time in that locker room. It's important. It's their space, you know, and they like to be able to spread out. They like to put their headphones on. They like to be able to do the things they like to do to get ready and relax and enjoy what they do. And we've created a space like that for them. So Mark's right. It's a game changer. And it's been a lot of fun doing the project.
I can only imagine. You're like a kid in a candy store right now talking about it. Your eyes are lighting up right now, Greg. And now I know it's still early. I mean, there's still the hammer is to the nail still as we speak right now. But I know recruits were here for the spring game, even though it's still in its infancy right now, still has some time to be finished. But have you received any feedback or response from recruits who have seen the digitized pictures, who have seen the work in progress of it right now? And what does that response look like?
Well, I talked to Coach D about it, and he relayed a couple stories about recruits and about our current players.
Because
our current players will reflect what recruits think.
Exactly.
And, recruits were just overwhelmed, you know, because you can show them the picture and walk them into the space, and now they can see it, feel it, touch it. It's real. So they know that if I go to Michigan State, this is the space that I'll be using.
Yeah.
And which is great. We brought the team in before the spring game and let them go in the locker room. And it was, you know, it's, you saw it on the video, mm-hmm. and it's still got a ways to go. But their enthusiasm, their excitement.
They're probably like, man, I wish it was there when
they
I was
They were
there.
Kids in a candy store, you know. So it was really, really well received by everyone. Not only student athlete recruits, staff, coaches. I mean, you know, they can all see how it's going to help them do their jobs better.
Oh, that's great stuff. All right, Greg, before I let the 12th man get at you, I want to ask you, what is in the future when it comes to MSU athletic venues? And what do you got cooking right now? What's in the fire right now?
Well, we've got two areas in the Duffy Doherty Scandalaris Center that we haven't addressed as part of a renovation yet, and that's the athletic training room and the football locker room.
Right.
So we're going to undertake a study. We're going to go to the board here in June and get their approval to proceed with planning on that project. If they're in agreement and we put together a plan and get the finance together, which we think we will, we'd like to get started on that in January and then have it done. That's about a six-month project.
Okay.
But there was a domino effect there. We had to be done with the north end zone before we could do anything over there, because we have to have a place to move the kids in the off season.
Okay, that makes sense.
They have to have a locker room. They have to have a training room. So we'll just move them over there. They'll work out of the stadium like they used to when I was in school, and they use that locker room and they'd go to different sites for their training. So that piece, we're working with RHS, who actually operates the Breslin Center, about upgrades to that building. There are systems upgrades. The building's 25 years old, and it's time for a number of systems upgrades, HVAC systems, electrical, different issues, and then we want to address some of the issues that impact the comfort of the fan in the building and those kinds of things. So,
anything specifically that you know right now as far as...
Yeah, I know, but I can't talk about it.
Not yet. I had to ask.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. You're a good reporter. But yeah, there's a number of things that we're going to present and look at. And, you know, we've done some things to Breslin. You know, we put the new scoreboards in. We keep tweaking things in there so that when you walk in there, when Tom takes recruits in there, they see something different. Mm-hmm. I saw your piece, which was really well done on the new lighting, and that's going to make a world of difference. Anybody who's been in Munn, who's seen Munn with the new lights, it's very impactful. Mm-hmm. And then we're finishing up the Munn project, the ice, new ice system in there, new boards, new glass. You know, we're out fundraising actively for the money to do the addition to Munn and the renovation of the arena. So there's a lot cooking.
There's a lot of
planning involved. We recently completed updated our master plan of the stadium. So, you know, we've been looking at different issues over there. Some of those fan amenity things that really need to be addressed, and this restroom addition that, along with the north end zone, is a first step there. So we hope that sometime in the near future that we'll be able to continue to address, expand restrooms, build new restrooms, renovate what we have to address the concourse, address our concession areas. So make those areas more pleasing to our fans, more user-friendly to our fans.
That makes totally. Oh, that's exciting stuff. I can't wait till it's all finished. I'm certain, you know, many Spartan fans out there listening to the breakdown you just gave are certainly excited about what's coming. I certainly am. Greg, we're going to kind of shift gears really quick and let the 12th man get at you. Are you ready? You got five more minutes?
Sure.
Stick around because the 12th man starts right now. All right, here we go. It is time for the 12th man, and we are actually going to go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, and also my Twitter page at AlMartinWKAR, as many of you have some very intriguing questions for the MSU Deputy Athletic Director, Greg Iani. Greg, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's start it, man. Craig from Dexter wants to know, as a parent, how proud were you when you saw your son Anthony not only graduate from MSU, but graduate a two-time Big Ten champ as a member of the MSU men's basketball team, previously being diagnosed with autism at the age of 4 years old? That had to be a remarkable moment for you.
Yeah, it was. What was most special about it, Al, was the basketball piece and participating as a Spartan was special. When he got his degree, nothing will ever top that. Nothing. You know, there's a young man that was told, you know, that people told his mother and I that he'd graduate from high school, maybe, probably live in a group home. We wouldn't hear it. He wouldn't hear it. The help along we had along the way and you know what? He wouldn't have gotten that degree at any other place other than Michigan State. I really believe that. Between the support he had from Coach Izzo and the staff,
right,
from our academic staff, from the people we have on this campus who help all kids with learning disabilities, somebody should do a show about that operation because they're incredible. You know, that's why he's got a degree. That makes me more proud of Michigan State than anything else, is that Anthony was not Phi Beta Kappa. He wasn't going to, won't discover the cure to cancer, but he was treated just like everybody else here and given an opportunity. That's what this place is about, and it's one of the proudest moments of my life.
That's unbelievable, Greg. And, you know, that moment when the doctor did come in and say, hey, your son is autistic. And I remember reading an article about it, and you said that, you know, he's going to graduate high school. He's going to do this. He's going to get his degree. That mindset was so strong and embodied in him, even in that moment. What made you so adamant in making sure that your son did accomplish those goals?
You know, Al, I don't know. I was brought up, you know, my mother and father wouldn't let me quit. Jamie was a great athlete. It's a hell of a coach, and he's just tough-minded. And we don't quit, so we weren't going to quit on him. I didn't know. It's probably emotion speaking, maybe the good Lord speaking through me. Who knows? Who knows? But we were just going to give it everything we had, and we got a lot of help. A lot of help. The people in the Okemos schools are fabulous, fabulous. And we got a lot of help. And we read in the paper and on television about people doing bad things. Well, there's way, 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 way more people doing good things. And we live that as a family. And this community is as much responsible for Anthony and the success he's had as much as anybody. It's a great story.
Certainly a blessing. Gotta love that. Hey, thanks a lot, Craig, for your question. Shelby from Grand Rapids wants to know, Greg, what's the best and worst college stadium or arena that you've been to?
Wow, that's a great question. College stadium. I think the best is Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I do. They've done some great things with the renovation. Easy to get around. Environment in the stadium is really good. I would put them as the best. I would say, and this may have changed, but I wasn't real. You know what? I'm not going there.
The worst one.
No, I'm not gonna do that. That's not fair.
I'm like, he's gonna say it.
Well, I was weighing a couple of them and I said, nah, we're not going there.
All right. Hey, great question, Shelby. Almost got him, Shelby. Okay. Greg, thank you so much for joining me this week.
Al.
Really appreciate it.
Gotta love it. Hey, Shelby, that was a great, great question, okay? We almost had Greg. Off the record. Well, I won't go there. No, off the record, though, we did chat. We did chat after. I'm just saying. All right. Well, great, great time with Greg Iani last night on Current Sports TV. Again, you can catch the episode in its entirety tonight on WKAR TV, 10 p.m. You do not want to miss it. Again, not only will you get to see my sit down with Greg, but you also see some girls' high school action, some boys' baseball action, and part three of my sit down with Mark D'Antonio. All that and so much more on Current Sports TV tonight at 10 p.m. All right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the Big Ten champions. Well, the Big Ten tourney, excuse me. The Big Ten tourney, if you don't know, is being moved to D.C. in 2017. We'll talk about it and weigh the pros and cons. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. How can you not love that throwback joint right there? You know, each and every Thursday, we rock out to a few throwback joints here on the show. Montel Jordan's This Is How We Do It. I get hype every time I hear that song. I just want to dance right now, but I can't. We still have a show to do right now. And Matt Lucky joins me right now. Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, and this is how we do it. So let's get going. I'm excited to talk about some stuff today.
Yeah, definitely, Alex. And you're in. Alex is actually engineering today. Alex, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Very, very excited to talk about some of these issues going on right now.
Okay, well, let's dive right into it then, because both of you seem very intrigued to get right to it. Well, you know, I wanted to talk about this yesterday, but we have such an intriguing conversation throughout yesterday's show, that we did not get a chance to dive into it. The Big Ten Championship, well, the Big Ten Tourney, excuse me, the Big Ten Tournament is being moved now to Washington, D.C., starting in the year 2017. And, you know, it was a lot of backlash. I got a lot of emails from a few folks and a few tweets from individuals out there who were not too happy as Spartan fans that this move was being made. And, you know, I can definitely see their point of view, because now you go from, you know, making a 3 or 4 hour drive to Indianapolis or Chicago, now possibly having to, shell out a few more bucks to either buy a plane ticket or to pay for an extreme amount of gas if you're going to drive all the way out to D.C. But the travel becomes more expensive now for those Spartan fans trying to make that trip from Michigan to Washington, D.C. So I can definitely see the quarrel there. Matt, when you first heard about this story, what were your initial thoughts?
Just, I guess, really just why? And I understand that it's all, you know, related to the new TV markets and the addition of Maryland and Rutgers to the Big Ten. But it just kind of seems like sort of shameless catering to the East Coast market. The Big Ten is so desperate to break into that big TV market that they're going to do whatever they can to increase their visibility over there. I mean, you know, they add Nebraska a few years ago. Was there any sort of pandering to that market? No.
No, they
could care less. But now that we have an in on the East Coast, it seems like the Big Ten is going to do whatever they can to kind of broaden that exposure over there. And it just kind of seems like it's such a decentralized location. I mean, it's in Maryland's backyard, but let's say you are from Nebraska. Now you have to travel 1,200 miles to go see the Big Ten tournament.
It's pretty
far.
That's
crazy.
That is pretty far. And from a fan perspective, I definitely see the quarrel that they have with this. Alex, what was your reaction when you heard about this, man?
I wasn't really surprised. And the reason for that is because when they added Maryland and Rutgers, that for me was the first straw of the East Coast expansion overall. And when the D.C. Big Ten Tourney edition went around, my initial thought is, okay, they're targeting the better basketball program alumni that reside in Washington, D.C. So I think that when it comes to the overall strategic move for the Big Ten Conference, it makes sense. I'm not as surprised, because the New York and the whole Maryland Rutgers hints were kind of a prequel to this move.
Yeah, it definitely was. And it definitely was. And, you know, from a business standpoint, I can see why the Big Ten made this move, without a doubt. Now, Izzo made an interesting comment, because initially when Izzo heard about it, he said, this is crazy. That was his initial thoughts. But then when he started to let it settle in and think about it really quickly, he started to see the benefits in it, and then his view totally changed on it, and he's all for it now. Now, one of the big things that he hit upon was that it opens up new recruiting territory out there in ACC country right now, being on the East Coast now that the Big Ten is going to be visibly seen in that regard out there in Washington, D.C. for the Big Ten tourney. It might open the eyes of a few recruits who said, okay, well, I may think about going to an MSU or a Michigan or a Nebraska or Wisconsin and so on and so forth. So I definitely see the benefit in that area, because it now broadens the exposure of where the Big Ten is seen now, which I like about that. At the end of the day, it's all about money. You know, money drives everything. It's all about the mighty dollar. It's all about the moolah. This year, I was reading a report. Graham Couch had an interesting column on this in the Lansing State Journal. He said that this year, the 11 full-fledged Big Ten schools are projected to receive roughly around $27 million as a part of a distribution package that relies heavily on television contracts. So again, $27 million each school as a part of the TV contract. Now, By 2017 and 18, it's projected that with a new TV deal in D.C., the total is expected to hit around $45 million. That's a big difference from $27 to $45 million, more money in the pockets of these universities, and you better believe that when administration sees those type of numbers, they aren't boo-hooing at all. It's just the fans that are going to boo-hoo because, deservedly so, they have to make an extra trip now. I have to shell out more money to make those trips. But from an overall financial standpoint of the Big Ten, this is a move that seemed inevitable, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it does. Now, you know, taking it one step further, do you think something similar is kind of coming down the pike for football? Could you see the Big Ten having the Big Ten championship game at like FedEx Field in Washington or the Meadowlands Giant Stadium? You know, do you think
possibly.
That's a possibility?
I think so. I think possibly. I wouldn't be surprised if this move was made. Because look at these, because those are distinct numbers. When you talk about jumping in, I mean, almost, you know, double digits in $1 million for a TV deal and how that impacts university, if that can be said true, if those studies ring the same bell for, you know, football, college football in that regard, then why not make the move? Whatever is going to benefit the conference and the schools within that conference financially, that move is going to be made. Now, I have to do more research as to see if a move like that would impact football in a positive way, or will it stay the same or even kill out if they were to stay in, right now they have it in, what, in Indiana right now? Indianapolis right now is a Big Ten championship. So we'll see. We'll see as that proceeds. But right now, from a basketball move, this had to be done, and I'm not surprised that it was done.
It had to be done. I feel bad for the Big Ten West.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they get the short end of the stick in everything almost. I mean, it seems like in terms of, you know, projected football strength, they are the weaker division. In terms of now travel to these championship tournaments and games in general, I mean, they're making a much longer trip. And I understand that the markets for some of the teams in the Big Ten East is, you know, they're much bigger. But at the same time, I mean, that doesn't make the Big Ten West teams any less a part of the conference. I mean, feel like it's just
some,
it keeps piling
here.
On. Maybe a little bit.
There's a lot of favoritism.
It's understandable just because of the financial aspect of it.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, what's stopping them from, you know, moving the Big Ten tournament to St. Louis?
Right.
Something like that. You know, just keep moving it around. I don't know why it has to just be Indianapolis, Chicago, now Washington, D.C.
Right.
Why not kind of have it just tour around Big Ten country? Because it's more than just those three cities.
Yeah, it is.
I think,
it definitely,
you know,
is.
What if we, you know, down the line they move it and it just changes every member state or something
now,
like
now
that?
That will be the fair thing to do.
But that's not going to happen.
If it's not going to happen.
It's not going to
happen. Impact their pocketbooks. No. Yeah. Well, that's at the end of the day. And that's what I'm saying. The mighty dollar rules everything at the end of the day, Matt. And this is just a fruition of that. So it's interesting because, you know, Tom Izzo's down there and still in Washington because he was there when the announcement was made that this move was going to happen. And now he's talking at the Pentagon. I'm interested to see what Tom Izzo had to say at that conference. So, all right. Well, guys, Keith Appling. It's an interesting story here. The NBA Combine will be taking place near the end of June. And two former MSU players will spend the next week auditioning for spots in the NBA. Gary Harris and Adrian Payne, those are no-brainers right there. They will participate in the NBA Combine. Next week in Chicago. Former Spartan point guard Keith Appling didn't receive an invite to the Combine, and his agent said that, you know, he talked to multiple NBA teams about it, and to see Appling not on that list of players really shocked a lot of teams out there. So what are your thoughts on that, man?
It's kind of just a reflection of the unfortunate end to his career. You know, the injury just took the wind out of his sails his senior season.
So you think
season.
He's done?
I don't know if he's done.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're talking about his college career.
I think, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's not done. He's
right.
Not done by any stretch. But the end of his college career definitely fed into this decision because he was just kind of out of people's minds. And if he was in people's minds, it was because of his poor play in the tournament and not because of the things he did throughout the course of his career. I think a good sign is that those teams are shocked, according to that report, because that means they obviously have respect for him as a player and think he belongs there. So at the very least, I mean, it's not the end. It's just an opportunity to kind of showcase your game. It's not like there won't be others. So
right.
I think, you know, if teams are interested in him, he still has a nice avenue to the NBA or maybe going to play in Europe or something like that. It's not over by any stretch, but it's an unfortunate after effect of the end of his senior season.
Yeah, it is. Alex?
Yeah, I want to ask you guys, would you have been surprised if, let's say Michigan State wins the tournament and they go to the Final Four, they make it to a national championship, and Keith Appling is still playing the way he was in the tournament? If he wasn't really producing as much, he wasn't really scoring, he was more just of a distributor, if he kept the way that he was playing in the tournament and they kept winning, do you think that he would have been invited to the Combine if Michigan State won or advanced to the Final Four?
No, I think when the NBA looks at players, they don't really care about team success. They care about individual success more so than the team. If Keith Appling kind of fizzled out and MSU was racking up wins, well, obviously there were other players on that team that were stepping up more than Keith Appling was. I think if he played the way he did in the second half of the season and MSU was still racking up wins, which they were to a certain degree. I mean, they won the Big Ten tournament, for goodness sake, without Keith Appling being that much of a factor scoring-wise and whatnot. But the NBA looks at how you perform. They look at your numbers. They look at how you perform more so than how the team performs. So if he did, I don't think that would have boded well for his draft stock overall. But overall, I think if Keith Appling, though, if he would have, again, we were talking about Keith Appling. I always go back to that first half of the season. Keith Appling was in talks of National Player of the Year. He was in talks of Big Ten Player of the Year. I mean, he was the guy. He was that guy you could go to when you needed a bucket down the stretch for Michigan State. And to see him get injured and to see him kind of fizzle out, first of all, as a fan watching the game, I really kind of felt for him because it's like, man, you can see him out there trying to get his game right. And we saw the potential of what Keith Appling could be. And to see it kind of just fizzle out, it was disheartening for me because I hate to see an athlete, any athlete, just go from a great amount of success to kind of just a nonchalant, just trying to find his way player due to the injury bug. I hate to see that. I think Keith Appling, his career is by no means done, without a doubt. I think a team will have him on his roster in the NBA. I think there's a team out there that will, I think he'll impress in it during a tryout and possibly make a roster. If not, I could see him in a D League or overseas. Keith Appling's career is not done by no means here, even if he's not going to the combine. The combine, it's not like the NFL where there's a lot of weight put on the combine here. This is the NBA where you can impress other outside of the realm of impressing teams in the combine. So he'll be somewhere, and I think he will eventually be in the league. It's just a matter of consistency and if he can stay healthy.
So you think he goes undrafted? But
I think he goes undrafted.
But gets a training camp roster spot?
I do. I definitely think he does. And I know Keith he's got that eye of the tiger, man. Tom Izzo called him one of the toughest kids he's ever coached. That mentality is how you succeed in the NBA and earn a roster spot. I think he will. If he doesn't this season, I could see him in a D League without a doubt.
Yeah,
I
mean, and look, guys, it's harder than ever to make an NBA draft pick because of the infiltration of European players now more than ever. 15 years ago, never would be a conversation. You're seeing great players on great teams not making a roster because of individual performance, like you said. So right. For me, I think that, like you, Al, I think that he won't be drafted, but I think he'll make a practice squad. Yeah.
What do you think, Matt?
I think he will, too. And I think even if he does go the D-League route, I mean, Kalen Lucas is in the D-League, and he's kind of tearing it up.
Yeah,
I mean,
he is.
He was doing really well
right.
for Iowa, and he's kind of rumored to be maybe ready to make the jump next year or you know, in discussions to maybe make the jump. I think I could see maybe a similar thing going on with Keith Appling. Now, the big question for me with his basketball future, especially in the NBA, does he have the durability? Because it was kind of the theme of his career at MSU. He would start out hot. He would look great in November and December.
Right.
And then he'd tweak something. Something would happen. He wouldn't be 100%. And you could see his game kind of dip a little bit. My big question is, can he handle an 82-game season against the elite athletes in the NBA? That's right. My biggest concern. Because he can play.
Oh, yeah. Without
We've seen it enough.
That's a fair concern.
He can play.
Right.
But can he stay healthy to make a difference in the NBA?
Yeah, I agree. That is a fair concern because you know it's all about consistency. I always say when it comes to the NBA, longevity always comes down to consistency. At the end of the day, how can you duplicate a consistent performance night in and night out so that you can solidify a roster spot on a team? That's what the NBA. That's why you see a Vince Carter. That's why he's been able to survive for so long. That's why a Grant Hill was able to play the amount of years that he was able to play in the league. I mean. And for Keith, we don't know because you talk about his college career. It was such a roller coaster. Every single year brought about a new challenge for him. And when he finally seemed to get it, he gets injured. You know, it's just a catch-22 for him. And I think he will have success. He'll find a roster spot, though, and I think he will be a factor somewhere. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out, though. Really quick, well, we only have 4 minutes. We have four. We probably won't even get to play it now. But Ali, I wanted to talk about Ali. It's been Throwback Thursday, Matt. One of the more notable moments in sports history on this day happened back in 1967 when Muhammad Ali was indicted for refusing induction into the U.S. Army, for, of course, the Vietnam War, which was taking place. It was such a moment for me, man, just to talk about it really briefly. It was a moment that certainly hits home for many because I'm pretty sure that I don't know about you or Alex, but I know a few Vietnam War veterans, including my uncle, who fought in that war, and they remember that time vividly when an athlete, it was one of the first times where an athlete of Muhammad Ali's stature, I mean, Ali was the man, sitting on the mountaintop, the greatest ever. Many even consider him the greatest ever at that point. And he comes out and makes a political statement like this, saying that he would not go over and fight in the Vietnam War due to his, it's not part of his moral character. He stood on the morals of religion, and he just didn't believe in it. And we saw an athlete making a stance like that, a political stance like that, due to his beliefs and his faith, took a lot of courage, and he became a hero for many during that time. It's one of those moments you look at and say that this is kind of, it's one of those moments that make people from the outside look at athletes as more than just athletes. And that was a moment for me that I'll never forget.
Yeah, he became an icon to an entire generation. And rightfully so. I mean, he basically sacrificed 4 years of his prime for his beliefs. And, right. I mean, can you imagine an athlete doing that today?
No athlete out there would. I challenge an athlete to do that.
That's crazy, especially, you know, where it's an individual sport where, you know, he was the most popular athlete. I mean, can you imagine if Tiger Woods just said, you know what? I'm taking 4 years off because I don't believe in what, you know, the U.S. administration is doing, you know, anywhere.
Right.
Like
exactly.
That, it would just never happen.
Nope.
I think it was a once in a lifetime thing, and he's an icon for a good reason. He stood behind his beliefs. He stood up for himself and people who believed in the same things as he did. He was an icon to a generation.
Yeah, I certainly agree. Alex?
Yeah, and the best part was at the end of his speech, he left it with, "Who's the greatest heavyweight champion of the world?" And it's just ironic because he's kind of backing down from the war due to his religious values. But he's still the heavyweight of the world. So
yeah, it's so good. I'm actually going to post it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. That speech he gave in front of a lot of students were there, a lot of media were there to come out and announce why he wasn't going over. It's a classic speech. It was the first time I've ever heard it, though. I was doing some research and it came across. I'm like, whoa, I got to play this today. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We won't get to play it today. I'll put it on our Facebook page, and I'll even run a little bit of it tomorrow. It's great stuff, but just remembering that moment, I mean, an icon, Muhammad Ali. Like you said, man, that's very well put. No other athlete would do that today in their prime to sacrifice all of what Muhammad Ali had on the table. So, unbelievable moment. All right, well, thank you all out there for watching, listening. I'm getting TV and radio mixed up. It's in my brain now. For listening to today's Current Sports, you've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Enjoy the day. It is gorgeous out there, folks. Be easy.